Hello and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. This is Jerry McCarty here with Rick Farnwell, Amanda Raymond, and Phil Gebhardt is still here. Cheers.
Cheers.
And we just finished up our last podcast, and Phil got a text from his wife that said, what were the words of the text?
Bin Laden is dead.
Bin Laden is dead. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers for that.
And why we kept Phil around.
It almost takes the sting out of the bodyguard being a almost takes the sting
She's
out of
She's huge over there, though. Whitney is huge.
I love that. Bin Laden loved Whitney Houston.
So, well, he deserves to die for that.
So, but anyway, but we thought we would take a few minutes because Phil actually lived in New York in 2001, in 9/11, and I thought we would, I wanted to hear Phil's story of where he was, what happened, and just as a New Yorker, your reaction to the whole thing. Tell us!
One of the most amazing things that I always remember about that day is that it was a typical, just sparkler fall day in New York. I mean, blue skies, just beautiful weather, you want to get out and just, you know, enjoy the day in the city. But
and you lived right in Manhattan.
Right. We lived in on 58th and 10th, which is right in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And I'm asleep, and Jill's watching TV, and she sees, you know, the news is going on about the plane hitting the first tower, and she wakes me up, and, you know, we're watching it. And oddly enough, I was at the time working for the WB News in New York, which is WPIX. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to go in because it was the time that they're covering the mayoral elections in New York. So we watched a couple of, you know, a couple minutes of what was going on, and I called the studio, and they said, yeah, definitely come down. You know, we need everybody here to, you know, help out in whatever they need to do. So I get dressed, and
like the first report we got, I was at the Stairmaster at the Spectrum, was it was like commuter plane.
Yeah, that's right? Nobody is really what understood what really happened. You know, everybody, you know, everybody was responding to go down there and figure out. Nobody really knew what exactly right. happened. They figured just a plane got lost or whatever, something happened, and they hit the tower, and nobody really realized what was going on until, of course, the second plane hit, right. and then right. with the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania, and, you know, pieces got put together, and we figured out what was going on. But I start going down to work, and WPIX is on 42nd and Lex, I think. So it's the Lower East Side, just above the UN.
Wow.
So at the time that I'm trying to get down there, everybody is walking up
away from
Lower Manhattan.
Right.
Wow. So I hop on a bus on 57th Street to go to the east side, at least get me over there so I can cut some time, because all the subways have stopped, because obviously part of the trains run underneath the World Trade Center, so everything on the west side had stopped. So we get over to Lexington. I think it's Lexington. I apologize if I'm wrong, but so I start walking downtown.
Walking
downtown to get to the news station. And, you know, everybody's coming up. And there are people that, you know, just, you know, the looks on their faces is just, you know, they don't really know what to expect. They're not sure what's going on. And then you get some people that were actually in that area where, you know, they're dusty and dirty really kind of, everybody's
wow.
just really disheveled. You know,
so you're seeing people with
oh, well, and the rest of the, when I get to the rest of the part. So I finally get to the radio or the news station. And I get in there, and of course, you know, everything's on the news, and we have on top of the towers is their antennas, and there's a guy from WB that was in charge of the antennas to switch our information from around New York, because it's a local
wow.
station, so everything that fed there fed to the studio. So the anchors are on there, they're talking about it, and my business partner, Jamie Boyd, at the time, was the head engineer for the morning show. And I came in and was generally just an A2. I'd put the microphones on the talent and interview, you know, whoever came in to be interviewed, I'd stick a mic on them. We wound up staying there from that Tuesday to Friday, just tag teaming, because the news was on 24 hours
yeah.
a day of what was
yep.
going on.
Yep.
So, you know, we're switching off. He would mix, and then he would take a rest, and then I would mix and back and forth, and you know, whoever came in, and we, you know, we had camera guys that came in once the towers fell that, you know, were just, you didn't even recognize them because they're just covered in crap.
Wow.
And what have you. And it was really incredible. But we're looking at, you know, when you're sitting in the new studio, as you know, I don't know if any of you have, you know, there's, you know, 20 monitors up there of right. different cameras that they're pulling in from wherever. You know, the local guys on the crew with the truck, or, you know, a stationary camera from a building for traffic or whatever that they've all put on these buildings. And, you know, we're seeing things on those monitors that I will never forget. If, you know, somebody's got the camera shot of somebody up on top of the building getting ready to jump. You know, I'm going to jump because I don't want to sit here and burn or whatever. And this is before the buildings even came down.
Oh, man.
So when that happened, it was just, you know, and I don't really know how I felt about that because it was just so
crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. It's like you don't expect something like that. It's very surreal. Yeah. You know, even with the second plane hitting, you're still in like, oh, this is really happening. Yeah. You know, and every time, you know, we've all seen the videos of over and over, but it come hanging like.
And you actually knew people that worked in the.
Yeah, a friend of mine, oddly enough, when I years ago when I worked for a cruise ship, one of the producers of the show. Sam Ellis, his wife, worked for Cantor Fitzgerald, and she was in the tower at the time that it happened.
So your mind's got to immediately go to those people. Like,
I didn't even realize that she... I knew she worked down there, but I didn't realize that she was actually in one of the towers in the part of the financial district. And, you know, we eventually, the time after all that happened, with all the memorial services at Yankee Stadium and at Ellis Park, you know, you start hearing stories of people that... You know, okay, my brother was in here, or a couple of the fire stations, which, you know, working for Les Mis, there were a bunch of guys on the, you know, Station 54, which is right around the corner, which is the fire station. They have guys would come by, and, you know, a couple of those guys, you know, never finished the call. It's really, really surreal, and, you know, I'm glad that they finally, you know, got the guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so tell us that. So tell us your reaction. So after living through that horror of seeing those people, and that was like from the other coast watching it, and you're seeing all those people with all that stuff soot on them, which is pretty much building and people.
Yeah,
I mean, it's burned ashes of a lot of things on them, and they're walking out, and it was like the weirdest feeling. So now, as a New Yorker who lost friends in that, give us your initial reaction, and we'll give you a pass as your initial reaction, but what do you think about him getting Bin Laden?
I think my initial reaction is like, I don't understand how it took so long, for one.
Amen.
You are in favor of it.
That's my feeling. How the heck did they not catch this dude?
Yeah, that just boggles my mind. You know, the guy's definitely an older gentleman.
Yeah.
You know, he's got medical issues that he needs insulin on.
He can't
run
fast. We know that.
No, he can't run very fast.
I mean, that was like,
and there aren't many Rite Aids, you know, in the Pakistan. You can come and say, I need my insulin for today.
That was like the weirdest thing. It's like, so then after the 9/11 thing, then he comes down and takes credit for it. It's like, yes, we did this and we did this. And then it's like, the dude is 6'8". He's got a big beard. You know,
he's diabetic.
I mean, his knees are shot. His jump shot is
looks
gone.
Like he's hiding in the mountains. I mean, I cannot believe 6'8", diabetic, has dialysis, who knows what other health problems, and he's running around in the mountains. And we offered, I don't know how many $1 million reward we offered for the
deal. How do you figure this out? We're a country of just amazing technology, and here he is running through the deserts and caves of Pakistan. And he still, every 6 months, puts out a video. So there's got to be a crew coming. You know, it's not somebody's little iPhone that they're doing it with. It, you know, it's a camera.
And it might be Skype.
Because you guys are in the business. You know that there's some sound guy or some cameraman that thinks he deserves a raise. He could use a couple extra bucks.
Yeah. And he's like, absolutely. I'd be like, I'm sorry, dude. Uh-huh. I'll do your video. I'm cashing your ass in. I don't care how much. How much can the guy be making?
He probably gets tipped very well. I have a feeling.
Bin Laden's like, I know we're working over 10 hours, but no time and a half. And it's like, I'm calling.
Hello, America. I have secret for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm amazed they didn't catch him. I mean,
I'm glad they got him, though.
You got this 6'8" guy that looks like Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong walking around. Uh-huh. I mean, I can spot somebody at a restaurant at 100 paces. Why can't anybody spot this dude?
Tommy Chong's funnier, though.
Definitely.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm first glad that they killed
him. I'm glad they killed him.
That's it, right? You're done. Two to the head,
yeah,
whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, you know. Game over. That's it.
Yeah.
You
know, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I totally agree.
I'm going to hope that it was like some Clint Eastwood thing where, like, there was some, like, really poignant thing said right before, you know, like...
Tell me, Obama, do you feel lucky? I haven't seen Clint Eastwood lately. Maybe Clint went over there.
It's that I'm going to finally settle it.
If I was Bin Laden and Clint Eastwood pulled the gun on me, I'd go, this can't be happening.
Five bullets or six? Or how many is a Magnum hold? I forget. It's the 44 Magnum.
Blow your head clean off.
But, yeah, I'm hoping that there was somebody. Or Arnold. Arnold always had a good scene before he took care of somebody.
You won't be back.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Game over. No, that's good. It's about time.
It's about time.
It's about time.
He's gone. Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Yep.
And cheers to all the people that were lost in 9/11.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least a little closure for them.
Yeah, something vindictive. I don't know if vindictive is the right word, but
yeah, whatever.
Sweet revenge, whatever.
Yeah,
justice.
Right. Revengeism, whatever that is.
Yeah. I think it's a lot. I think it's
justice
closure.
Closure
would be a name.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's the face and the name that was associated with
their
that.
Their family's got to be thinking, we can't get this guy.
Right.
At least get this guy. We can't bring our family back, but it's knowing that guy's dead.
Right.
So now he is.
Well, I remember before we moved back here to L.A., Good Morning America would go back to the families of the children that were born to people that died in the building. And then we go back every year and take a huge picture of them, like at Brooklyn Botanical Garden or something like that. And it was neat. And you sit there and look at those kids are 10 years old.
Wow.
You know, almost 10 years
old.
That
is amazing. Yeah. It's been 10 years.
And it's been 10 years.
Okay.
So what do you think, just your opinion on that side of the world? And it is so weird. And for you, it must be even weirder. Flying into New York and not seeing the World Trade Center still bothers you.
Well, I think I haven't flown back since we moved out here, but the thing that really throws me off is when you're watching older movies that were filmed in New York.
Yeah,
man, you know, that was New York City. I mean, that was the skyline. It certainly doesn't diminish the skyline.
The Jeff Bridges King Kong with Jessica Lange. They climb the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Jumps from one to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I always sit there and think back when I'm watching a movie and that shows up and you see it. And even in some of the newer movies that it doesn't have it. I mean, New York's got an incredible skyline, but, you know, those two things, that was New York.
When Spider-Man came out, the original poster had the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
They changed the poster.
I think that was bullshit that they cut that out.
Yeah, they should have
come on,
it.
Leave it in there. You know,
should have left it.
You film
like
it with it, leave it in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see the reason why to do that. Leave it in
there. But it is. But so what do you think you got to do with that site?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, I knew people, but certainly they weren't family. But, you know, with New Yorkers and people from New Jersey and Connecticut, that they're very resilient people. But, you know, you got to come together and decide what exactly you want to do. I mean, this is just taking way too long.
I agree with you. Whatever they decide, they decide. I mean, I know that New Yorker attitude is like, build it 10 feet high.
I don't have a problem with that. But
let's just do it and do it and then the memorial thing and whatever. But, yeah.
No,
I just need to do something on this.
I don't have a problem with them putting a park there and then the space next door building a 10 feet tire with the big old, you know.
F you.
Yeah. Yeah, so you build three of them, with the middle one being a little higher than the other two, pointed to the east. Is that bad for me to say that?
That would be
probably
good.
They'll come into my house.
Well, anyway,
this is a good send-off song for Bin Laden.
What's the send-off song?
It's called "Auf Wiedersehen" by
Cheap Trick. Oh, I remember this song. "Auf Wiedersehen."
Yeah.
Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen.
Sayonara.
Did Whitney do a cover of this?
I think her career has done a cover of this.
So anyway, well, thanks for joining us for this special edition of Rick's Martini Bar. with Phil Gebhardt.
You see, we can do special reports.
We do special reports at the Martini Bar. We're hard-hitting news.
We're all wired for a special report. We got it out there.
Hard-hitting news.
You beat the LA Times.
And I bet you we're the only people that compared Osama bin Laden to Tommy Chong.
The night is still young. We haven't seen Fox yet.
I just hope Tommy's not listening to this. What?